The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning. I come here with an invitation. It's an invitation to presence. An invitation to this time and this place, for a moment in time. For this moment in time, I invite you to do no more than be present here and now. Allow yourself to breathe, to listen, to feel. And as we are present, let us join now. Join our hearts and join our minds in preparation for worship with our prelude video. Bring your broken hallelujah here. Bring the large one that is beyond repair. Bring the small one that's too soft to share. Bring your broken hallelujah here. I know that people have told you that before you can give, you have to get yourself together. They overstated the value of perfection by a lot. Or they forgot, you are the gift. We all bring some broken things, songs and dreams and long-lost hopes. But here and together we reach within. As a community, we begin again, and from the pieces we will build something new. There is work that only you can do. We wait for you. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and I want to say that you, with your broken hallelujah, are welcome. Each one of you are welcome here at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, you with a longing heart, you with a soul overabundant with joy, you are welcome. You who are so excited about the Eagles that you can't stop looking at your watch. And you who can't wait until people stop talking about football, you are welcome here. And everyone is also welcome at our meal following the service, even if you brought nothing, even if you thought there's a meal after the service, you're welcome. You can come, share, stay, converse, question. We are a group of seekers. Seekers for our own personal truths, our own personal ideas, and seeking all the while in relationship with other seekers and with other learners. So come, let us join together in the messy and the wonderful confusion of community. We begin our time, our worship each Sunday, and most of our business meetings with a symbolic reminder of our shared commitment. I have a lot to say. You can come up, but I'm also talking a lot. I asked Teresa to come light our chalice. Our symbol is a flaming chalice, a reminder to always come back to being kind, always come back to being loving, a reminder to our shared commitment of right action. Individually, we believe all sorts of different things, but we still come together. We come together to challenge, to support, to question, to explore, and remind ourselves that to do the spiritual work with mindfulness and awareness of those people around us. For the chalice lighting reading this morning, I'm using the first sections of this congregation's covenant of good relations, the promise that we make to each other in community. You are welcome to read along with the slide or just listen. We covenant to listen to each other carefully and respectfully, to honor the inherent worth and dignity of everyone, to show care and compassion for each other, our community, and our environment, to voice concerns and disagreements honestly and respectfully, to measure our behavior by the principles of Unitarian Universalism. In times of disagreement or conflict, recognize the conflict and seek resolution directly and in a timely manner. Respect and honor the ideas of others. Encourage all to express their point of view practice tolerance, patience, and openness in the process. Work toward the common good of the fellowship. Thank you. We also light as a beacon of hope and challenge a specific lamp for peace, both in our lives and in the world at large. The responsive words on the screen. May peace be with us. Thank you, Teresa. Please rise in body or in spirit and join with me singing our gathering song, We'll Build a Land. Please be seated unless you want to come up to see this book. And as usual, there's a joke with ministers. They say we should have like a conveyor belt so that the first pew after the service starts just drops and everything comes forward. So there's space here. You can come forward. The pictures will also be behind me. This story is called Noah's Ark. Who knows the story Noah's Ark? Does anyone? Okay, there's at least one, two people, maybe three, a couple people have heard this story. I'm going to paraphrase it. So if you know it verbatim or if you're reading on the slides, it might be a little bit different. And if I forget something, please make sure that you say, hey, hold on a second. That's not what's happening. Noah's Ark. This book used to belong to Kenan. This begins with God, and this is the picture that they use for God in this story. Looks like the sun. God was upset with humankind. God said, humankind, you are not obeying my commandments. You are not being kind to each other. I'm going to destroy everything. That's a bummer. Right? It doesn't actually say that in the Bible. It should. But Noah and his family were good. And God said, I'll save Noah. I'm going to make it rain a whole lot, but I'll save Noah. And he said, Noah. And Noah said, here I am. God said, make an ark. Make a big boat. Make a huge boat. And it's going to be this big and this wide and this long. And he gave him the blueprints. And he said, here you go. You and your sons, because it was patriarchal, you and your sons make this boat. Even if the daughters could have done it better, the sons did it. Make the boat. And come into the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and their wives. Again, you see, they're missing some people there. Just you and your sons. And also, take all the animals, two of each animal. That's a lot of animals, right? And two of all the birds. It's a lot of birds, right? Everything that creeps upon the earth. What can you think that creeps upon the earth that you would not want to be in a boat with? Snakes, yeah. Caterpillars, some of the like the millipedes, ants. Just two though. Right? I mean, two ants and two elephants. Okay. And take all the food you're going to need too. Right? So take all the food you're going to need. That's a logistical problem. Take all the food. And they made the ark. They filled it with the animals. They filled it with the food. And it started to rain. It started to rain a lot. And a lot. And it kept raining. And everything was covered with rain. All the mountains, all the land, everything was covered with rain. You can see the ark here. And then everything was destroyed. The water came and it flooded everything except what was on the boat, what was in the ark. And God remembered Noah after 40 days and 40 nights. He said, oh, that's right. I made this promise. I have to make it stop raining. So God made it stop raining and made the waters recede so that they could see little mountaintops. And Noah said, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know if there's anything out there. So I'm going to send a bird to see. He sent the dove. And the dove came back with nothing the first time. And then the second or third, it came back a couple times. And then once it came back and it had an olive branch. It said, there's land. There are green things back on the earth. It said, we can leave the ark. And God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make a promise that never again will I, God, cover the land with water and destroy all living things. And God said, I will put my bow in the sky to remind myself that I'm not going to do this again. I'm taking some time here because I'm coming back to this. And so then everyone came out of the boat. They're all pretty happy. They have some space to roam around again. All the animals come out of the boat. And there they are, tending the earth, getting back to their sort of normal days after the flood. And what we're going to talk about is a promise, and the promise made in this book especially, and what happens when we make a promise, and what happens when we break that promise, when something bad happens, when we get angry, when I say, I want to be kind to you, then what if I get angry? I need to remind myself to come back into that promise. So that was the story of Noah's Ark and the promise. So now, with that in your minds and hearts, we're going to sing our recessional hymn, and you can go off to your RE classes. Now in peace, go now in peace. May the beauty of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. I got a lot of books out of the library. The librarian said, you're going to know a lot about Noah's Ark. I said, well, I want to pick the one I like the best. This was the only one with Noah not being extremely pale colored, which was, I thought was very telling. Because if he lived in the Mediterranean, he was probably a little darker than me. There were a lot of really silly adaptations too, but it's a good one. Our reading today talks more about covenant, and I'm going to talk more about that in the sermon, too. The reading is by Reverend Gretchen Haley. What does it mean to be a community of covenant? And she speaks some truth here. Covenant is one of those words that can initially sound kind of stuffy, academic, and out of date. But when you unpack its meaning and its practices, covenant holds a whole vision to how to live in this complicated, beautiful and broken world. It's a vision that says we are most human when we bind ourselves in relationship, but not any relationship. Relationships of trust, mutual accountability, and continual return. That is not what our culture teaches us. Our culture teaches us that what it means to be human is to be an individual, to be self-defined, self-determined, separate even. But our Unitarian Universalist covenantal theology affirms that being human comes down to the commitments we make to and with each other, the relationships we keep. We become human through our promises to and with each other. And even more than that, covenantal theology doesn't just say that we become human through our promising, but also when we break those promises. When we break those promises and yet somehow find ways to reconnect and begin again. When we repair the relationship because we know we need each other. Even when we think the other isn't doing enough. Or even when the other is annoying us. Or isn't listening well, or isn't doing things the way we want them to be done. Even then, when we realize right then that we are still connected and can't give up, and so we return and begin again. The beginning again, says our faith, is when the holy and the human meet. Let me tell you right now, someone in the next year, maybe in the next few minutes, the people you most believe in and care about are going to disappoint you. Your church is going to disappoint you. This world is surely going to disappoint you, like all the time. We're all walking wounded and weary from the way this world can and does break our hearts. And what our faith asks of us, what our faith imagines for us, is that somehow right at that moment when our hearts break, we will find our way to see through the heartbreak. We will stay put, not close off, not run away, not hurt back, but keep on being in relationship, doing what we can to repair the world and each other. Keep on opening our hearts with greater love. And right then, our covenantal faith says, we will feel not only most human, but also most whole and most at home. Wow. That's truth, yeah. I have a question for you, though, to start my musings, to start my sermon here. I have a question for all of you. What is the crux of Unitarian Universalism? What is the burning ember of our faith? And take a moment and just think about that. Just think. And if you have a crux, a burning ember of our faith, shout it out or say it on, type it into Zoom chat and we'll have someone say it. What is the burning ember? You can be right or wrong. Acceptance, community. Acceptance, diversity, justice, search. Open mind, love, compassion. Yeah. When introducing Unitarian Universalism, I mean, I get asked from people like, what do you do? What is that? So I get to start. When introducing it, I often talk about acceptance and welcome out, the freedom, responsibility, search for our own truth and meaning, our own beliefs, to be true to what we know is true here. And Unitarian Universalist congregations are a place where you know you can be sure that you're welcome. You can be welcome with your beliefs, with your quirks, with your lacks of faith, with your strong faith, with your errors, with your questions, your answers, your beliefs, and especially with your misgivings, your embarrassments. You're welcome and you're celebrated here. We welcome you. And we welcome you, and we welcome her, and we welcome them too, and him, yes. Each with their own idea about how the world works. That's our faith. We're open to, we're affirming of differences in community. And actually, if you're interested in a personal search for meaning, I have a shameless plug that I'm leading a class in spiritual, sort of, not spiritual direction, but spiritual discernment. Starting later this month, where we're going to talk about life and death and, well, everything in between. If you're interested, talk to me, email me or talk to me at the potluck afterwards. Space is limited, so get signed up. But here's the thing, in that class, in the class of individuals, or in a congregation of individuals, we're being open to differences, but by our very nature, we're inviting in disagreement and conflict. I mean, that's by our nature. We're inviting in disagreement and conflict by who we are. As you're saying, come as you are, and come as you are. You're not the same. Okay. Well, there's going to be some disagreement there, and it may lead to conflict. And this invitation of disagreement, this invitation of conflict is why I no longer think that being welcoming and being accepting is our religion's inner fire. Being welcoming is a big part. It's a huge part. I mean, it's an enormous part. But our faith challenges us to go more than acceptance. Our religious core, the heart of Unitarian Universalism, is how we relate to each other through our differences. What do we do when we're in conflict? I feel like our religious core is covenant. It doesn't sound as exciting as I was like, covenants, like, well, that's sort of boring. But not only is Unitarian Universalism a covenantal faith, but our religion, it is covenant. That's what we believe in. That's what we strive for. I'm going to step back a little for a little definition of covenant. What is covenant? It's a term which is closely related to contract, agreement, promise, commitment. Covenant is a guarantee between two or more people or two or more groups of people. That's a good start, but a covenant is not a contract. Like if you look at thesaurus, you'll see these listed, but it's not a contract made in a religious setting. That's not what it is. Unitarian Universalism doesn't ask adherents to agree on any belief structure. But we do ask each other to agree on how we act with one another, our way of being, our way of acting with each other in beloved community. So therefore, the central question for all Unitarian Universalists, I believe, is, can we be in community together with our different beliefs? And our covenantal answer should be a wholehearted yes. Yes, we can be in community even with our differences. We value not despite your differences. We value not even because of your differences. We value you with your differences. We value you and you with your differences, not because of, not despite of. We do not have a test of faith. We know this. There's no test of faith for members of the community, but we do join together in agreement of action, agreement of good relations. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to not mention God. But you do have to agree to living with love, with respect, with openness to people who disagree with you. Because we're here together because we do agree on something. We agree that we're going to play nice with each other, right? We could take our covenant and just say, play nice with each other. Simplify it. That's our core belief. That's our covenant. We play nice with each other, and we're bound by this promise to each other. Now, there's one aspect of covenant which I want to highlight. I mentioned a little bit, a feature which makes covenant so important, so difficult, and so sacred. These types of agreements are made with bad times in mind. You make a covenant knowing that hard times will come and knowing that one or both parties will break the promise. Planning for hardship is spoken to in the story I paraphrased earlier, the well-known story of Noah and the Ark from the shared scripture of Judaism and Christianity. And I'll share here the biblical account. This is a passage from right at the end of the flood narrative when all the animals and people come out of their big boat, and God speaks to Noah from Genesis. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living thing of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living thing, every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Now, there's a lot here to unpack, right? Even with many parallels and many other ancient stories, like there's the flood narrative in Gilgamesh, there's other things, like Noah and the Ark are not seen to be an exact representation of a historical event. I'm sorry if that's a surprise for anyone. This is not an exact historical event. But just as with other tales and other stories, truth can transcend the container it's in. There's truth here, even though it's not factually true. Without factual truth, there's still truth in that story. The truth here is not that every living thing was on a boat together. That's absurd, right? The truth is about how to make a promise of love, how to make a covenant. The truth is what God says will happen when things go wrong. Remember, because covenant's a promise we make when things are going well, about what we're going to do when things aren't going so well. Covenants, that promise we make when things are going well, about what we're going to do when things are not going well. Because that's a surety. There's going to be good times, there are going to be bad times. you can be guaranteed. And it's in those times of strife, when we see the rain clouds coming, those are the times when it can be very hard to live our values. When I'm personally hurt, when I'm feeling down, I know that I'm going to think more about myself and less about how my actions might impact someone else. It's easy to live into selfish ways of being when times are hard, when we're feeling hurt. I'm going to be selfish. That's why we make covenants. Because hard times are the exact time when we need to be more committed to our values. The time when it's hardest and the time when it's most important. It said that hard times reveal good friends. Have we heard that? And I think it's also true that hard times reveal true values. You'll get to know your own actual values. When we are challenged through difficulty, we're given a chance to show how committed we are to our beliefs, how committed we are to our covenant of compassion, right? Even when it's hard, even when we don't want to, especially when it's hard, especially when we don't want to, that's when we need to live out our life affirming and life-saving faith. And that's what God says. In that story, God knows humankind will mess up again, and God knows God will get angry. So God put a marker of the promise. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant. God didn't say, I promise to love you always and never get angry. No, the promise was to stop the anger and to come back into loving relationship through the disagreements. That's why covenant is so much more powerful than a contract. We will all fall short of others' expectations. I can guarantee you that. I'm going to fall short of your expectations. You'll fall short of my expectations. We'll all sort of fall short of each other's expectations. The difference between a contract and a covenant is what happens when we fall short. What happens when that agreement is broken? When a contract is broken, there are repercussions. Many times financial, if those contracts are legal, right? If I don't pay my rent, I could lose my apartment. That's a contract. When a covenant is broken, or when it's perceived to be broken, the expectation is to come back into relationship, to come back into beloved community. Think of wedding vows versus a prenuptial agreement. There's the difference there, right? Wedding vows are a covenant. They generally leave space for reconciliation, the traditional wording of a promise to work through adversity, through illness and health, good and bad times. A prenuptial agreement, on the other hand, is contractual. There's little or no room for coming back together, and instead, prenuptial agreements have financial repercussions spelled out. One is a covenant based on love, the other is a contract based more on money. There's a time and place for both. Here is our time for covenant. A few years ago, I was working with a youth group when the agreement between the youth and the adults was broken. It's not a surprise. I mean, some members of the group went against what we had agreed upon for a curfew. Wow. That's right? I mean, that's not a surprise, but it was still a breach of our shared agreement. So we all stopped what we were doing, and we tried to come back into agreement with one another. It was not really a fun time, but it was deep, and it was spiritual work. We each went around, and we each talked about what had happened, what we were feeling, and what we needed to do to regain trust again. Because trust was broken. That was more important than staying up to 9 instead of 8 or whatever happened. There was a broken trust there. There were no punishments. We didn't punish the people who stayed out late, but the youth and the adults came together. They came to an agreement amongst themselves, which helped them again gain trust in one another. That's the holy and the difficult work of our faith. It's unlike a contract. A covenant has space for reconciliation when agreement is broken. Not only is there space, there's an expectation that promises will be broken. Promises need to be revisited. The youth and the adults had a promise. It was broken. And then we all did that sacred work of coming together again, knowing that through love and through care and through truth telling, we could come into right relations and move forward in a new trust. It's not easy. This is not easy work. It's not like, okay, great. Yeah, we can do that. Okay, you upset me. Okay, we're done. We can get back into right relation. No, this is where we hold each other accountable. Our faith holds us accountable because our faith compels us to do that hard work when we mess up, because we will mess up. We will each mess up. To do the work that we come back together, to do that work that we maintain clear and open communication, even with those with whom we have differences. We come back again and again to a promise of beloved community. Right, when I'm at odds with a member of the congregation, I don't just throw my hands up and say, well, that's the end of that relationship. Right? I mean, that wouldn't be a good model. When my child, my partner, my spouse, my sister, my brother does something harmful or hurtful, I don't just write them off and move on without that relationship. That's the crux of our faith. That's the burning ember at the heart of Unitarian Universalism. Right at that moment when our hearts break, we will find a way to see through that heartbreak. We are a group of people who come together with very different ideas, different beliefs, different thoughts, and we stay in relationship even when we disagree, even when we get mad, especially when we disagree, especially when we get mad. We try always to come back to right relationship. Covenant calls us ever back into being our best selves in community. And an added challenge, I mean, you may be expecting something like, oh, how do we do this? Well, an added challenge is that Unitarian Universalism and this work specifically, there's no best way, there's no correct way. The work is ours to enter into loving relationships. The work is ours to rebuild broken relationships and promise again to trust again. These words by Reverend Wayne Arneson, you may have heard them before, speak to our faith and our charge of relationship. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard. The path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, because deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. That's where it really comes down to our spiritual practice of living with conflict. This church, this gathering of a beloved community. A beloved community is any gathering of people focused on love, communal benefit, right? My family fits that. Many families do, some do not. The love surpasses the differences we have. I argue with my parents, with my siblings, with my spouse, with my children, but love always wins. No matter the disagreement, we come back again and again into our relationships. Thomas Paine's Covenant of Good Relations speaks to the highest purpose, being that of support and compassion. Because here, as in all human relations, all human gatherings, there will be differences in opinions between individuals. But this isn't just any human gathering, right? I hope we don't say, yeah. This isn't just any human gathering. We are a beloved community of faith, and we are Unitarian Universalists. The distinction between other gatherings and a beloved community is that we strive to transcend those differences by our love and our care for one another. Here's another question. What is the most important thing in a family or in a beloved community? The most important thing. You don't have to shout it out, but I guess you may. Honesty. Compassion. Listening. Trust. Communication. The most important thing for a parent to show to their child, the most important thing to show your parents, or for you to embody to a friend or your fellow churchgoers, or to show your beloved, this is where I'm going. The most important thing is not that you agree with them. Any parent will know that. The most important thing is for them to know that they are loved. More important than agreement is knowing that you are loved. When my son throws a tantrum, no matter how much I want to, I don't enter into a yelling match with him. When my daughter is crying and screaming for no discernible reason, I don't scream at her, but I also don't leave them. I make sure that they know I am there for them, even if they don't at that moment want that presence. I make sure that they know that I love them. I mean, children will rebel. Children will rebel. They'll be frustrating, they'll be defiant, and not want their parents or guardians around. Being a good parent means giving them space and making sure they know that they're loved. Here's another. Friends will be frustrating. What? Yes, friends will be frustrating. Our spouses, our romantic partners, we will have times of strife and discord. Our fellow members of this beloved community will get on our nerves. If it hasn't already happened, it will. I can guarantee you. Right now, you may be like, Andrew, you're getting on my nerves. Yeah, that's okay. That happens. And being a good partner, a good child, being a good member of a community means giving each other space while making sure that the other knows that there is still love. I end with these words from Reverend Gretchen Haley again. What our faith asks of us, what our faith imagines for us, is that somehow, right at that moment when our hearts break, we will find our way to see through that heartbreak. We will stay put, not close off, not run away, not hurt back, but keep on being in relationship, doing what we can to repair the world and each other. Keep on opening our hearts with greater love. And right then, our covenantal faith says, we will feel not only most human, but also most whole and most at home. Amen.
Would you harbor me? Would I harbor you? Would you harbor me? Would I harbor you? Would you harbor a Christian? A heretic, convict, or spy? Would you harbor a runaway woman or child, a poet, a prophet, a king? Would you harbor an exile or a refugee, a person living with? Would you harbor a Tubman, a Garrett, a Truth, a fugitive, or a slave? Would you harbor a Haitian, Korean, or Czech, a lesbian, or a gay? Would you harbor a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, a heretic, convict, or spy? Would you harbor a runaway woman or child, a poet, a prophet, a king? Would you harbor an exile or a refugee, a person living with AIDS? Would you harbor a Tubman, a Garrett, a Truth, a fugitive, or a slave? Would you harbor a Haitian, Korean, or Czech, a lesbian, or a gay?
from our prelude. Do not leave your cares at the door. Do not leave them there when you come to this place. Bring your pain and sorrow and joy. There is a place for them upon the altar of life. This is the time when, if you feel so moved, you can bring your care, your pain, your sorrow, or joy to the altar of life. We take a moment each week to allow for the sharing from our lives, that which must be shared, that which overflows into this caring community.
In this time of sharing to a close by singing Spirit of Life, and the words will appear here on the screen momentarily for everyone.
Spirit of life, come unto me, sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion, blow in the wind, rise in the sea.
Please pray with me. Grandfather, look at our brokenness. We know that in all creation, only the human family has strayed from the sacred way. We know that we are the ones who are divided, and we are the ones who must come back together to walk the sacred way. Grandfather, Sacred One, teach us love, compassion, and honor, that we may heal the earth and heal each other. Amen. Let us please join our spirits and souls in singing our closing hymn. If you would raise up your spirits and your bodies, if you feel so called, in singing Blue Boat Home.
Of the heavens in our beautiful blue boat. thanks to the waves upholding me. Hail the great winds urging me on. Greet the infinite sea before me. Sing the sky my sailor's song. I was born upon the fathoms. Never harbor or port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue.
We extinguish the symbol of our faith, the reminder of our promise, knowing that it lives on in our lives and in our hearts. If we agree on love, there is no disagreement that can do us any injury. But if we do not, no other agreement can do us any good. So may the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us, now and always. Amen, and blessed be. And you may please be seated for our...